Right, I entitle my message this morning as Marshmallow Theology. I hope I don't minimalize a lot of things, but I will in a minute tell you why I entitle my message Marshmallow Theology. Let us ask the Lord to bless this time. Father, we thank you so much that today your love and your power and your authority is here through your word. I pray that as your people, Lord, we will listen up to what you are saying so that we can save our soul. So that even though we are living through the most difficult times, that God, when we trust your word will bring us through every corner and every bend, that God, we will be able to maneuver well in the spirit. We give you thanks, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I name it Marshmallow Theology because of a very famous marshmallow experiment that was conducted by a psychologist called Walter Mischel. I don't know whether you have seen the video. It is a very, very popular video. And it was actually given, this experiment was given to children to test their level of self-control. They want to see how well the kids are able to be self-controlled, of course. The way through the kid's stomach or love is through lollies, marshmallow in this case. And so what the experimenter would do is to give the kid one marshmallow and say, all right, now you can either eat this marshmallow or you hold on, and then I'm going to go out, and then she goes out or he goes out for 15 minutes, then come back in again. And then she says to the kid, if you were to hang on there and don't eat the marshmallow, just hang in there, I'm going to give you another marshmallow. And that's what the whole video is all about, and that's what the psychologist was famous for his marshmallow experiment, to test the level of self-control. I thought it would be so good to show you exactly what happened, because I think it's a very interesting topic for our Christian faith, isn't it? Because self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. And self-control makes us live godly lives and productive lives. It is what makes us alive. And so it's good to find out what that is. So, but before this, just look at the video and enjoy.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait.
The sound for that would be great.
I come back, I'll give you another one. So then you'll have two.
This is a time for self-control. Give me a cue if I should just continue and then while you figure out, or I'll continue and you figure out and then you give me the cue. Okay. All right. So in the video, I'm telling you the story now. In the video, the kids were showing varying degrees of self-control. You know, some kids would, when they get the marshmallow, they would eat it immediately. Some kids, they kind of like waited for a while and then they decided, you know, why wait? You know, 15 minutes is a long time for a kid. And then they ate it. And then some kids really controlled for 15 minutes and did not eat the marshmallow. And instead, they were given two marshmallows. So that was very interesting. So when they did follow-up studies of this experiment, they found out that children who were able to wait longer actually have better life outcomes. they did the longitudinal study, and they found out that they have better educational attainment and they have got better life measures. And so it's through science, and of course this is, we don't have to rely on science to know things like this. We know it is important because the Bible tells us so. But it's interesting to see how science line up with what we believe as well. And here it is saying that self-control is actually a predictor of a successful life. Self-control is a predictor of a successful life. And right now we're going to see how these kids use self-control and see how these kids do their thing. Yes.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. Oh, it smells really good.
So it's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay. All right, so I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay.
She can't wait.
How'd you do? Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you to give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
I think it's such a good video to talk about self-control, and kids, I think, are the best, you know, people to test on that, yeah? But it's interesting, it's interesting. I think one of the best things that we can teach as parents, and some of you have got young children, is the ability to have self-control, because self-control is actually a predictor of a successful life. And for us as Christians, it is a reflection of a healthy spiritual life, because we can come alive in our spiritual life when we have self-control. Just now when Rita was leading the worship, I got a great revelation in relation to this, because you know, God wants us to come alive in our spiritual life. And God gave us the fruit of the Spirit. And it's very interesting what you said, because self-control is difficult, you know. It's like bearing the cross. And you say that, you know, it's to take up your cross daily. Self-control is difficult, and it is like bearing the cross. But if we can be led by the Spirit to do that, then it becomes a tree of life. You come alive in a lot of aspects in your life when there is self-control. You see, if there's a healthy fruit, then there's a healthy tree. And if there is healthy self-control, then there's a healthy spiritual life. And 2 Peter 1:6 tells us that when we have got self-control, we then lead a godly and productive life. And I believe that when we are able to exercise control, we are then able to make better and more godly decisions. We don't control ourselves, and then there are things that we may have decided that may be counterproductive to our spiritual life. So godly self-control is very interesting. I think what is very interesting is the difference between the human self-control and the spiritual self-control. When God gives us the fruit of the Spirit, and when we can walk with the Spirit, it is actually through the ongoing relationship with the Spirit that is the product of our self-control. It is not because we deliberately try to put everything, you know, suppress everything and then be self-controlled. It is not through an achievement program. It is really through walking with the Spirit, through that ongoing relationship with the Spirit, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. And what is very interesting about godly self-control is it does not just come from yourself. It comes from the external. It comes from the divine. It comes from God. God is not just the God that is in our heart. You know, we always think God is in our heart, and it's true. Of course it's true. God is in our heart. But God is not just in our heart for us to be able to manage our life merely. God is greater than the God just inside of us. God is also the universal God. God is also the God of the world. He is external to us. So sometimes when self-control becomes difficult, like we have got no self-control, or we don't have the ability to do a certain thing because there is no self-control, I tell you what, the truth is, God is able to inspire us. God is able to produce in us that fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. I love it. Every time when I feel weak, I say, oh God, I can't do this, I can't do this. And then it's like, God is able to help us pick ourselves up and do things that we don't think we could do. And the more we fellowship with the Spirit, the more self-control we have, the more we can reflect the character of God. And that's why it is so good to keep the soil of our hearts. See, if self-control is a fruit, we must keep the soil of our heart free from debris, free from rocks, so that we are able to allow the Spirit of God to plant His seeds of self-control in us so that we can make better and more godly decisions, so that our life will be more godly and our life will be productive. So a man from the Bible came to mind when I was thinking of self-control, and his name is Nehemiah. Nehemiah is someone with self-control. And after this, we're going to look into the lives of Nehemiah to learn from him how to clear space in our heart to let the Spirit of God grow self-control in us. I think Israel or Jerusalem will have no good walls if Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem have no self-control. So first thing first, if we want to grow self-control healthily, and at this time we want to be godly in our self-control, we want to be healthy in our self-control, one is to maintain realistic limits. Is to maintain realistic limits. We can keep the rocks and the debris of unrealistic worries. I think this morning we have a lot of emphasis on if you are coming in with worries, you know, and some of our worries can be unrealistic. Is to keep our hearts away from unrealistic worries or insufficient self-control by maintaining realistic limits. By maintaining realistic limits. So when Nehemiah heard that the exiles were shamed and humiliated, and that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down, he was so affected by the news. Like now, you know, we are so affected by so many things that are happening right now, like Perth, you know, getting the rates of infection higher. You know, we hear all kinds of stuff. So Nehemiah was so badly affected by the broken walls in Jerusalem because the people there were being shamed and humiliated. And he was so badly affected that he began to mourn and fast and pray for a few days. I want to say this, that it is really realistic to have emotions when we hear bad news. It is realistic. Don't think, you know, as Christians, we can't be sad when we hear something sad, or we can't be affected because we hear something negative. Of course, we are human people. You know, we are Christians, but we're not immune from all these emotions. It is realistic that when sad things happen around us, when businesses fail, when people pass on, or when things are being destroyed around us, like at the moment, you know, in Ukraine, when you look at the grim faces of the journalists, things happen around us, and we are allowed to express our needs and our emotions. It is realistic to show our emotions. But we also need to realize that we need to set realistic limits. Nehemiah was able to hold his emotions very well. He didn't lose control. He had those emotions, but he didn't lose control. How do we know that he didn't lose control with his excessive worries about the broken walls in Jerusalem? He showed up for work. He still served the king. He was a cupbearer. He still went to work, and he was able to maintain realistic limits even though he was grieving a very, very big loss. What I realized about Nehemiah is that he developed an inner power. He developed the power to have a hold on himself. You know, sometimes when we want to tell people, you know, control yourself, we say, get a hold of yourself. What I like about Nehemiah here is that he has the ability from God to have a hold on himself. And why so? Was because Nehemiah knows how to express his emotions through spiritual disciplines. He had the spiritual disciplines of mourning, very important, fasting, and praying. So, same thing, he was surrounded by difficult challenges, but he knows how to pray, how to mourn, and how to fast. It's very important because spiritual disciplines prevent us from overreacting and prevent us from underreacting. Being able to have spiritual disciplines help us navigate through tough times. I don't know what I'll do this 2.5 years if we don't have spiritual disciplines, if we don't continue to come together and fellowship, if we don't have our own devotional time, if we don't have our personal fellowship. I don't know what's going to happen to us, really. How are we going to survive this time together, yeah? So having spiritual disciplines, Nehemiah showed us, help us be able to navigate through life's tough moments. It actually cut down the unrealistic worries. It actually helped us maintain the realistic limit. And the more we are able to tap into the disciplines in our ongoing relationship with the Lord, the more we keep in step with the Spirit. Sometimes, you know, you fear, and then the Spirit says, no, do not fear. Or sometimes you're not calm and the Spirit says, come on, I have this, I have this. You know, you immediately feel a sense of calm. But that's what the Spirit does. The Spirit is your counselor. We don't need to have a lot of counselors all over the place. No, the Holy Spirit is our counselor. And He wants to come, regulate our emotions, and help us set realistic limits so that we are not excessively worried. See, spiritual disciplines, and we've always been telling you, the church and ourselves, to really be involved in praying and being involved in Bible study and in coming together. The reason is because spiritual discipline produces what I call the neighbor of self-control. If you read 2 Peter 1:6, we were told to add to knowledge self-control. So self-control has got a neighbor. The neighbor is knowledge. Spiritual discipline produces knowledge. And it is knowledge that makes us healthy, and it is knowledge that makes us feel godly. See, we can have self-control when we know that we have the discretion to be able to form a right judgment. So then you won't waver between right and wrong. You won't be wavering between good and evil. You know how to live the best rather than just the better. You know how to live the better rather than just the good. You know that you are in the middle of God's will. All this knowledge are very important. Once you have that knowledge, even though you're surrounded by difficult times, and we have got challenges both in the house and in the community, in the world right now, but when we are able to have the knowledge, then we are able to have the self-control. Then, when we are able to think the same thoughts with God and be thrilled with the same joy with God, like what Pastor Jim says, then we have got a greater and fuller knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, our goal in life is to know Jesus. That's the only goal in life, really, is to know Jesus, because it is in Jesus that we have got the inexhaustible fountain of blessing as well as transforming power. On our own, we can't have self-control. We cannot transform ourselves even to have self-control. But the Holy Spirit can transform us. And so when we tap into the spiritual disciplines like Nehemiah, when he heard the news and he was so excessively worried by all those things that are happening in Jerusalem, he mourned, he fasted, he prayed, he got himself engaged in spiritual disciplines. He began to encounter God in the private presence in the palace. He knows how to encounter God. So when we learn how to encounter God in whatever situation that we are faced with, some of those situations are real, are urgent, are difficult, are distressful. When we know how to encounter God in His private presence, then we will be able to set realistic limits, like what Nehemiah did. By the time Nehemiah was in the court with the king, he was already resolved. He was already resourced. He was calm. He was composed. He was still able to give the right drink to the king. He was a cupbearer. He was able to give the right food and the right drink to the king. He was able to do that because he had a private encounter with his God in mourning, in praying, in fasting. May we grow up tall. May we grow up healthy in these areas. Huh? Then we'll be able to set realistic limits and we'll be able to live through this very difficult time. But of course, even though Nehemiah was able to keep his emotions all under control, the king knew Nehemiah very well. And the king realized that Nehemiah was not the same Nehemiah he knew from yesterday or from last week. And so he asked him, he says, what's the matter? And then Nehemiah was not all over the place. He was not random. He was not like throwing things out in the open and letting the king solve his problems. He was already calm and composed, clear and resolved because of his rich spiritual discipline. Because he was able already to set those limits. He told the king, King, I may need to take leave. And he took 52 days of leave from the king. The king gave him the authority, go and build the walls of Jerusalem, go and have a good time and do all that. The king blessed him, the king authorized him, and the king fully resourced him. So what turned out to be a big problem becomes an opportunity for Nehemiah to begin to bless the people of Jerusalem. Christians, we need to do different things. We are converts. That means we must convert situation that may even be threatening into situations of great opportunity. Because this is what the Spirit does. The Spirit cannot be controlled. It's not contained within a box. The Spirit wants to set us free. And so when we go through difficult times, don't panic. Don't be excessively worried. All right? No, put in practice what you already know and learn. Ask the Spirit to lead you. And then when the opportunity arises, like Nehemiah, present the situation and watch God move. Amen. 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 All right. So, what is your spiritual discipline? What do you resort to? You need to ask yourself, and this is a good new year to start a spiritual discipline that will cut down the size of your worries, that will increase your resources, increase your calm, increase your composure. There is something the Spirit wants to give to you. Find out what it is. Some of you may be prayer. Like, you know, after you pray, wow, you feel every of those issues begin to be cut down in size. Maybe prayer is your spiritual discipline. Maybe reading the Word of God is your spiritual discipline. Whatever it may be, pick it up this year. Huh? Pick it up this year. Oh, I'm a mature Christian. I know all these things. Okay, start fresh. Start from the basics. Huh? Start from youth alpha. Oh, basics. Huh? Go to the basics and begin to draw strength from the Spirit. The Spirit wants to walk with us. He's a counselor. Every morning he wakes up, he says, let me see what I can do for you. I want to counsel you. I want you to grow into a godly man and woman, you know. And if you listen in, wow, the Spirit wants to lead you. And the Spirit wants to give you a very important ingredient that will make life really successful, like the kids, you know, in the video are showing, that it will lead us to have a successful life. Amen? So that's number one, maintain realistic limits. Number two, you need to manage impulses. You need to manage impulses. We need to keep our hearts free from the rocks and debris of instant gratification, of impulses, or maybe even for some of us, the extreme preference for comfort. I remember when I went to my counselor in Bible school, and we were talking about certain things, and my counselor says, you know, you have a preference for comfort. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it's okay to be comfortable, you know. He said, but you have a preference for comfort, which means sometimes you may prefer comfort over a strong word of the Lord. Whoa. Wake up, Paul. Yo, we must keep our hearts free from that extreme preference for comfort by managing our impulses. So like in the video, the children, when they were given the marshmallow, you see how they have self-control. Some of them, they look elsewhere. They don't want to look at the marshmallow. They look elsewhere. Some of them, they sniff it. They get all the good, nice fragrance of that sweetness, but they don't eat it. Some of them, they thought of the other marshmallow. You see, they managed the impulses. They thought, if I don't eat now, I get the second one. They thought of the second one. They never think of the first one. They thought of the number two marshmallow. They could have an extra 50% more. And some of them, they reframe what the marshmallow is. You know, the researchers ask them, and they say, you know, how come you're able to manage your impulses? And the children, some of them say, I don't think of it as a marshmallow with a soft gel inside with fragrance. I think of it as something that is not edible. Oh, so clever. Huh? We need to manage our impulses. When Nehemiah went to survey the ruins of the walls, the Dung Gate, the Valley Gate, the King's Pool, he had the most emotional and devastating feeling. But the thing is, Nehemiah has such self-control, he didn't want to share with anyone. You know, some of us have things that we keep inside. We don't want to share with anyone, maybe by choice. In this case, Nehemiah did not want to share with anyone by choice because he didn't think it was a good time to share those things. It was all inside. I remember when I was reading about the director, Steven Spielberg, when he was doing the movie called Schindler's List. When he was doing the whole Holocaust, it was so traumatic, so traumatic, so dramatic, and so horrifying that Steven Spielberg would come back every night after shooting the movie, and he will sob and sob and sob, and the wife would be the one that, you know, would be absorbing all the feelings from Steven Spielberg. Yeah, we need to realize that even though we might not be able to express some things, it does not mean that we can project that whatever that feeling onto other people. No, if you choose to keep those things inside, and sometimes it is really hard because when you have experienced something horrible and you choose not to express it, like Nehemiah, he saw the devastation of the walls of Jerusalem, but he chose not to tell anyone. That's really hard to have self-control. But Nehemiah did not tell anyone that God, whatever that God has put into his heart to do, he said nothing to the Jews, he said nothing to the priests, because he was impressed that he should just look at the situation and bear the burden. Some of us may be called to that position where you can't tell people a lot of things. You have to bear that burden. You have to manage your impulse to either share it or manage the impulse to project it onto other people. He developed what I call, very interestingly, I've been using this word recently a lot. He developed what we call in science or in psychology, a distress tolerance. That means he can tolerate distress. That is the mark of a true Christian, where you are able to have that fruit of the self-control, the fruit of self-control in you, that God can use your ability to keep your body into subjection, to keep your body under the control of the Spirit, so that in the right time, only at the right time, you are able to express what you need to express. This can only come from the throne room of the Lord Jesus Christ. This can only come from heaven. Just like Jesus, when Jesus was crucified, he could have swore, he could have spat, he could have done those things that people who were crucified do. But no, Jesus was silent as a lamb. Wow, what self-control. What self-control? He could have done all those things to release his pain. You know, sometimes it's not very nice to feel the pain and not be able to release. And sometimes in our human body, we just have to release it somewhere, and sometimes in a very negative way. But Jesus took everything in and was as silent as a lamb. He developed a distress tolerance because he knew that he was born to die. He knew that the Father was watching him and helping him, and he knew greater good would come out of his death. Wow, that's self-control. Paul the Apostle had a sporting metaphor. He says, you know, I run this race like I want to win this race, so I subject my body to be self-controlled so that I can win the race. I pray that we will be marked by self-control as an expression of a true believer in the Lord. Because this year, our theme is His heart and our hearts. And we want to be able to manage our impulses and be able to exercise self-control, because God is not impulsive. Huh? God is slow to anger. That means He's not impulsive. Huh? His mercies and His faithfulness endures forever. He's not impulsive. He's got self-control. And so, when we can manage our impulses and begin to exercise self-control, then it is bearing the cross. It is taking up the cross daily, and you begin to experience the tree of life in you. You become alive. You become alive. See, the human nature is one that finds it really hard to control ourselves. We tend to want to act out our impulses based on how we feel. And sometimes we can overshare, sometimes we can overdo sometimes we can overthink. And then when we overshare, overdo, and overthink, get stressed out, and then you let out whatever that is in you to other people, sometimes it's very hard to take back, because a word that is being given to another person out of a lack of self-control can hurt the other person, and you can apologize and apologize and apologize, and it doesn't make that person accept the apology 100%. Well, because some of these things are very hard to erase from our memory. And that's why we need the other neighbor of self-control. The other neighbor of self-control, if you read 2 Peter 1:6, is add to self-control perseverance. Whoa, self-control got a few neighbors. One is knowledge. The other one is perseverance. You need to persevere when things are difficult. Persevere. We have persevered 2.5 years. Now the borders are slightly open. Some of us are still persevering because you don't want to go out and take a look too quick. There needs to be that patient endurance. That patient endurance. That even though there are certain things that you are really shouldering, or maybe you are bearing inside your heart, know that you are not alone. That God is with you. The Spirit is your counselor. The Spirit wants to use this moment where you hold this thing inside of you, develop a distress tolerance for His greater glory. He wants to do that because certain things need to grow. Certain things need to ripen, mature inside you. And if you have got the self-control and be able to submit your will to the holy will of God, wow, then I think when God finally asks you to come on, go and do whatever, the self-control that you have put into the situation will be able to give you a better decision. A better decision. Jesus Himself says, oh God, if you could remove the cup. But He says, oh Lord, no, Lord, don't remove it if it is not your will. Not your will, not my will, dear Lord, but your will be done. Nehemiah, he focused at will. He knew it was very difficult because he was going through very difficult times to get all the resources, very difficult to manage his team, but he focused at will. He ignored all the distractions. He managed all the impulses around him, and he began to be faithful. He began to be faithful, faithful to the things that he was called to do. God is faithful to us as we wait on Him. God is faithful to you when you work for Him. God is faithful to you when, even when you wobble in your weakness, even though you don't have the strength, you flop onto His arms. He says, oh God, I can't do this. God is faithful. And I just pray that even as you go through difficult times, that you will manage your impulses, you will lean on God for self-control, and you'll be able to build up that godly and productive life. And I love it, man. Self-control, I love it. Not easy, but I love it because it's a fruit of the Spirit, amen? And I believe that there are certain areas of our life that we need self-control in, because it is not just being able to discern good from evil. It's not just, you know, self-control from bad things. We used to think like that, not only self-control from bad things. Hey, what about being self-controlled in things that God has called us to, and then being able to move to that space in the Lord? Sometimes for the lack of self-control, we don't get near to where God put us. Maybe for the fear of the situation. Or for me, years ago, when I only prefer comfort and not what the Lord is saying, wow, then I will miss out, man. I don't want to miss out. I want to be in the bull's eye of God's will. But sometimes that may mean that I need to exercise self-control. That may mean I've got to give up some things that I'm happy with. But I'm going to trust the Lord, huh? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead you into those spaces that God wants to grow you and make you healthy and strong. Amen? The last one is to maneuver constructively. To maneuver constructively. We need to maneuver out of negative situations or sometimes negative emotions, and not to let the other person with their comments and with their attitudes just eggers on. You know, some people do egg us on with their comments. They talk about things that can make us feel like, oh, I got to react. Tobiah and Sanballat, the two enemies of the walls of Jerusalem, they were opposing the Jews, and they came to the wall and to tell Nehemiah, look, you know what? What are you guys doing? You are weak Jews. What are you weak Jews doing here? You think by putting a few bricks, you can restore your walls? You think you want to come here and build up this wall of Jerusalem in a day? You think you can bring to life? These are all in the Bible, okay? I'm just paraphrasing. All this is in the Bible. If you read Nehemiah, you get all these words. And then Tobiah, the Ammonite, says, what they are building, you think they are strong? No, even a fox, a small animal, climbing on it would break down their walls of stone. You see, sometimes when you hear these kind of words, you get upset already. Sometimes people can egg us. And we need to realize this. We are human beings, yeah? We are Christians, yes, but we are human beings. So sometimes people can egg us on with their comments, with their observations, with their responses, but we just need to ask the Lord, Lord, oh God, help us to exercise self-control. And sometimes the people who egg us on are in the house. Oh, you know, true or not? Your cats can egg you. Your dogs can egg you. Your kids can egg you. Your spouses can egg you, right? Right? But don't give in to the egging of the other people. We need to maneuver constructively. I don't know whether you watched the Oscars this year. I didn't watch because it was quite long, but you saw that scene, very dramatic. I just turned on my television, and then that came, that scene, you know. Really, it's for this message, I think. Will Smith, one of my favorite actors. On that day, he was so upset. He was so impulsive. Chris Rock was the one who was introducing the award, and he was so egged on by what Chris Rock said about his wife, he got so upset he didn't manage his impulses. This is a public event, Oscars, the whole world watches that, you know. Will Smith thought he was in a movie. He thought he was a Man in Black or something. I don't know what he thought, you know, at that time, but he was impulsive. He went up to the stage and he slapped Chris Rock across the face. Went back to his seat, sit down, and begin to be swearing at what Chris Rock was doing. Oh, never manage impulses. Now, of course, he's all apologetic, but he has got to face consequences by the Academy. No choice. You know, so things that are not being controlled when it's projected out like that, sometimes we got to face consequences, sometimes for life. Hopefully they don't strip him of his award, but whatever it is, we need to realize that there are certain questions, certain statements, certain things that people do give to us, sometimes from our bosses, sometimes from our fellow colleagues, whatever it is, they were meant to erode your confidence, they were meant to rock your self-esteem. And if you're already unstable, some of these words can really undo you. And if you have got self-doubt, you can be weakened in your self-control and have more self-doubt. Or if you're so upset, you can be even more upset. And then when you do those things that may sometimes be not revocable, it's no fun. Huh? Then the whole community get affected because of what we say out of a lack of self-control. God wants us to have self-control, but He helps us. We're not doing this our own. He helps us control our emotions. So don't let people egg us on. Of course, there are times where certain people, we need to tell them off. But it's not going to be from a position where you're being egged into or where you have got to teach them a lesson or to show them who is the boss around here. And then you're going to get aggressive. We don't want that as well. We are Christians, yay? Not Christians by name. We are Christians by practice. And we don't want to carry out justice by being aggressive. So better to exercise self-control rather than to let our emotions all go wild. So when Nehemiah and the men heard all these comments from Tobiah and Sanballat and so much of all these every day, you know, ridicule, you know, every day, 52 days, they get all these kind of bad comments. Rather than engaging with them, so don't engage with people like this. Rather than engaging with them, do you realize all these are marshmallows? Hey, put a lot of effort into the PowerPoint to make sure it's all marshmallows. Putting your heads together to find constructive solutions. So rather than wasting time to dialogue with them and to prove them wrong or tell them what they're about to do and all the rest of it, Nehemiah had the wisdom from the Lord to be self-controlled and don't engage these enemies of the wall, don't waste time, but rather put in place an effective plan of good defense. And so they maneuvered constructively. They put their efforts into a plan that was going to make the wall of Jerusalem come back in again. So what did they do? They prayed for the enemies of the wall. They prayed for the people. Then they posted a guard day and night, take care of the walls. They have guards, take care, very practical. One half equipped with spears and shields and bows and armor. The other half, they built the walls. And then when they were building the walls, they were also carrying the sword. And then they use a trumpet, so clever. They use a trumpet, they strategize. If I blow the trumpet, this is the message. And they begin to galvanize the whole group of the people of Jerusalem into completing the wall with all these good plans. Don't give in to the enemies. If God has asked you to do something, there will be opposition. There will be a lot of, you know, good advice or good opinions or bad advice and bad opinions. You know, you get all kinds. But you mustn't dialogue with the enemy. You mustn't dialogue with those things that's going to prevent you from doing what God wants in your life. God wants something in your life. Only God can tell you. It's not a demand. It's a great joy of the Lord to give you whatever God wants to give you. It's an assignment. It can be a project. I don't know. It can be your studies. It can be a something, activity. I don't know what God wants to put into your life to do. But you need the self-control that comes from the Lord to be able to mature from just being a victim to a victor. You need to ask the Lord for that self-control to be from a victim to a survivor and from just a baby drinking milk to a healthy adult eating meat. God wants to give us the fruit of the self-control so that we are able to do what is successful, what is godly, and what is productive in our lives. Proverbs 25:28 says, a man who has no self-control or a woman who has no self-control is like a city whose walls are broken through. So if we allow everybody, friends and foe, to walk in and out of our lives and tell us whatever or do whatever they want, then sometimes we can crowd God out of our picture. So God is a lover of our soul. God loves us. He asks us to bear the cross, not that he wants to make us suffer. He wants to bring the tree of life into a blossoming so that the community of the Lord Jesus Christ is being praised. And I pray that this year you'll be full of the Holy Spirit. You will develop this whole new level of self-control, be able to set realistic limits through your spiritual discipline. Be able to manage your impulses. Don't let your impulses get the better of you. Don't let people egg you into doing something that is not of the will of God. Yeah? And to be able to ask the Lord to help you maneuver constructively. Ask God for ideas. Okay, God, I'm doing this. I'm suffering this. What do I do? Is there a plan? God is creative in whatever situation you are in. If you are willing, the Lord's Spirit is your counselor, and he will lead you from now till forevermore. God wants us to have a heart of Christ to be able to maintain realistic limits, manage the impulses, and to maneuver constructively. I pray that the church will blossom because the Spirit is working actively in us to make us so alive in the things of God. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you so much that you know us. You made us. You create us. And you know our weakness. And this is one area that's really hard, Lord. You know, we are subject to so many things around us, including all these afflictions and sicknesses and diseases. And Lord, sometimes it's so hard to be self-controlled. But we thank you, dear Lord, that it's not just managing self-control on our own, that you are out there, our divine God, who comes and provides self-control for us so that we can go through a difficult time, so that we can hide in the wings, Lord, in the shadow of your wings, oh Lord, and just wait for that right moment to pass so that we can enter into another new lease of life. Oh God, we trust you. Our faith is in you, dear God. We trust you and we want to surrender ourselves to you. I pray for my brothers and my sisters that, dear Lord, you will begin to grow the fruit of self-control. Let that fruit of self-control begin to grow. Let not impulses be our king. Let not comfort be our prince. But let self-control be your portion so you can guard the very thing God wants to give you. I pray for a blessing in our work. I pray for a blessing in our studies. I pray, dear God, that you help my brothers and my sisters, dear Lord, to grow in you, to grow this fruit of self-control. Holy Spirit, may you come and trim this fruit, trim those things that may not be very necessary, so that, dear Lord, we can grow to be the man and the woman that have your heart, so that we can accomplish what you have put into our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.